colleagues who may not be supportive at this time to find a solution that what is something that we've all said. Let's give the states more power to make decisions for themselves.
I should only add on this point, because Senator Gardner's done great work in trying to plow the ground here. This is a bipartisan bill. Mm-hmm. We are building strong bipartisan support here in Congress, in both the House and in the Senate. And we are developing good bipartisan support around the country.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, welcome to Hutterton Chamber Radio, and this is the extended forecast for Flemington, New Jersey. Partly cloudy and patchy as we go through the afternoon and evening. Otherwise, low around 55, and we have very gentle 5-mile-an-hour wind. We might have some fog overnight and toward tomorrow morning as we face Friday morning, our last day of the work week. There's a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms early in the morning, 2-ish or so, and mostly cloudy around 61 as we face our work day tomorrow. With that, let me welcome you to Hutterton Chamber Radio, your county at work. Push my video button. I was all set to forget that again. It takes a lot for button pushing, let me tell you. So welcome. This is Hutterton Chamber Radio and your county at work, as I said. We aim to bring information and human interest side and stories about the men and women who serve Hutterton County, serve you, and take care of the safety of our roads, well-maintain them, and how they planned to make sure that that's an ongoing process. We'll be talking about what we do here in the Roads Department, why we do it, and what it takes to keep a county going, regardless of its size, whether we have a huge population or we don't, and whether... And whether we have a lot of roads. Do you know, before I even introduce you, how many roads, miles of roads?
We have 500 lane models.
500 linear lane?
Lane models.
Okay, so you're going to be hearing more about that from our subject matter expert here today. So I'm Suzanne Legay, and we're going to be talking with Ray Eichlin. And Ray is the assistant road supervisor in Hutterton County. And Ray is a Hutterton County native. And he identifies himself as a farm guy, and he just began his 32nd year here with the county. And Ray and I had planned a segment earlier in this year. We were going to talk to everybody about brine, and we went down to the facility, and I met all of his gentlemen that worked with him, almost all named Tony. But that particular day, it was so freezing cold that my equipment wasn't working well, and they were calibrating their instruments, so we decided to put brining off until next winter. But anyway, Ray Eichlin, Assistant Road Superintendent, Supervisor, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, what does it take? What's involved in being the Assistant Road Supervisor in Hutterton County?
Well, what it involves is you have to have a passion for, first of all, wanting to work outside. Along with that, you have to have a passion for wanting to work for the public, because that's who we're all working for. And we want to make things right, you know, no matter what it is, with the public. And everybody has something different that may be bothering them or, you know, or maybe not bothering them, but directly. It could be indirectly.
Yeah.
But you listen to them, and you try to help them out. And if we at the road department can make a difference and we can help them out, well, that's what we're going to do. you know, because that's what we're employed by Hunterdon County to do. So I think that's the biggest thing, to be able to work, you know, hand in hand with the public and know that you can make a difference in somebody's day. I really believe that that's the biggest pleasure that you can get out of this job, you know. And if you're willing to be that kind of a person that you want to make somebody happy, you know, in the public, to be able to give them, you know, the correct information. And sometimes we wind up giving them information that they just don't want to hear, but it's the facts. And that's the way it is.
Okay. I know when I spoke with Ray earlier when we were planning a few minutes and planning this show, and we were talking about what it takes, and we were talking about some of the strategies, and we'll talk about this as we go along, but the strategies or tactics or plans. And what came out is what you just heard, I think, and that is that there's heart in taking care
Absolutely.
Of the public.
Absolutely.
And you certainly, in speaking with Ray and watching his face get excited as he talks about his favorite subject and his
yep.
and his expertise in it, it comes out real clearly that that is your passion, is what you do, do it well, and do it for others. And it was delightful to see. And I'm sure our listeners and viewers, or audience at least, will gather that as we talk a little bit more today.
Sure.
How'd you get here? How did you get to be the assistant supervisor of roads?
Oh, boy. Well, it started 32 years ago, and 32 years ago, we had a friend of the family who was a road supervisor here at Hunterdon County himself, and my mom went and talked to him and said, you know, that I was interested in, becoming an employee of Hunterdon County. So with that, he told my mom where I should go, and it was down here to the Route 12 garage. And I wound up stopping in to see a gentleman down here who at that time was the road supervisor. And when I went in and introduced myself to him and told him who sent me down, he's like, oh, man, he goes, you really know how to keep yourself around bad company. And it was a joke because, you know, he thought the world of, you know, his supervisor. And, you know, he was a really good guy. And it turned out after a couple of years of working here at the county, I wound up working for that supervisor. And it's just been a great road since, you know.
Oh,
and
excuse the pun.
Yeah, excuse the pun. That's right. But learned a lot along the way, met a lot of great people. Here we are today.
Great. Thanks. Yep. It's real homespun,
yes.
Your expertise in and of the county. How are we going to get our arms around this subject today, Ray? How are we going to talk about all that happens in the roads department?
Well, as we discussed earlier, once I found out that I was going to be coming on this radio show with you.
I sprung this on you today, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I thought what the best thing we could do for our viewers would be to start here in the springtime. And what I did is I just jotted down some notes here. You know, we're going to go over spring. We're going to go over what we do in the summer, what we do in the fall, and we'll wrap up with what we do in the wintertime. And all this stuff that's down on here that we're going to talk about today, we do more than that. This is just some, you know, footnotes, if you would, of really a lot of what we do from year to year. But there's also jobs that we do here that may only be one time.
Sure.
You know?
Or emergencies and things like
Absolutely.
That. But we're gonna sort of be covering the routine of what goes on, all it takes to make our roads safe and keep them maintained. At
yes,
some point.
And I thought that was the most important thing to be able to get across to our viewers that are listening today.
Yeah, I think that's a great frame. You know, an understandable way to talk instead of saying we do this and we do this and we do this and we do that.
Right.
So why don't you launch us, Ray? Talk to us about what you're engaged in right now
okay.
in the springtime.
Well, we start off our springtime, and it's normally right around April the 1st. We start to remove our snow fence. And the reason our snow fence starts to be removed around that time, farmers like to get in the fields. They need to work. And, I mean, you know, they're grateful enough to be able to allow us to be able to come on their property, first of all, to be able to put up that snow fence. And what the purpose of the snow fence is to stop all that snow that's coming out of that field and distributing and falling onto our roadway. And that's what we refer to as drifting of snow.
So counties such as ours, the, mm-hmm. the rural counties and farm counties,
yes.
would have a lot more of that fencing going up than Bergen, say, or Essex or some.
Well,
or is that,
I would say
is that, a simplification?
That any area, any county, and it doesn't just have to be New Jersey. It could be anywhere across our country.
Yes.
If there's potential for drifting snow, there's a very good chance that the road department is going to have some type of a snow barrier up. We happen to use snow fence. There's other states, other counties across this country that wind up making a permanent snow fence by planting trees.
Ah, I see.
Or things of that nature. There's even some counties, like you get out into the Midwest, where farming's really big.
Yes.
They'll actually purchase so much of a cornfield and pay the farmer to allow the corn to stand, and that works as a snow fence.
Ah.
Because all you're doing is you're disrupting the air. That's what you're doing. The wind that's blowing across that field, it's a disruption, which then gets the snow to start to circulate in a circular motion.
Okay, so if we've got snow fence up and you're taking it down, is that a week project or how many days or how long does it take?
I would say roughly it takes us about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to get
wow.
all of our snow fence
Lots
down.
Of farmland here.
Yeah, we have a lot of farmland. We even have, you know, there's even spots we've gone and knocked on the door and it's just been somebody's lawn.
Ah.
And it's just an area where the snow just blows and blows and, you know, you wind up getting the roadways completely clean. And only to have Mother Nature
yes.
pick up in wind, and she just deposits the snow right back out on the road, and it's just ongoing and
okay.
ongoing. So wherever we can get the snow fence to help prevent that, we're going to do that.
I could see, Ray, that we could do 10 chapters on this because we're only talking about taking up snow fence so far.
It's
interesting stuff. It's interesting. How many we didn't tell our audience that. How many folks in the road department in Hunterdon County?
What we have is 40 employees on the road crews.
Okay.
We have 5 employees on our tree crew.
On our
tree crews.
Okay.
We have not tree crews, tree crew.
Yes.
We have 5 in our traffic maintenance, and we have approximately 15 in our bridge shops.
So did you add that up on your fingers and toes while you spoke?
Yeah, you're looking at like 65 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big department, but big job.
It is.
Okay, so we've got our snow fences down. Now tell us what else is going on in the spring.
Okay, so now we're going to go into like cleanup mode here. And what I mean by that is we have, you know, and what we call is our brine maker. And the brine maker has to be torn down. It has to be cleaned out because there is salt in that. The pump has to be all flushed out with fresh water. You know, so we don't wind up getting, you know, corrosion in it, you know, through the summertime.
Yes.
Until we're ready to use it again. So that's taken place. All of our dump trucks are now going to be stripped down, meaning the salt spreaders are going to be removed. The plows are going to be put away. But as they're being put away, we're also checking to see, do we need plow blades on here? Do we need shoes? You know,
shoes. Tell me what another word for that would be.
The shoes are what supports the plow.
Okay.
Which we are slowly getting away from. And the reason we're getting away from it is because we're going mainly to carbide blades on our snow plows. And since we're going to carbide blades, we don't need the shoes that are on the plow, which do the adjustment to help make the snow, the blade on the snow plow wear evenly.
Okay. So another thing about when you're finishing up with the winter season is to take apart all the parts that are involved in it and
yes.
and inspect and clean and
absolutely. And what needs to be repaired gets repaired.
Okay.
Whether it's right then or whether it's later on, you know, depending on when our mechanics have an opportunity to be able to do it.
Okay.
Everything gets done in-house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're very, we're self-efficient here.
That's great.
Yep.
Okay. What else?
So then what we have, we go and we pick up every mile of roadway with our roadside garbage. If there's garbage, you know, if there's garbage along the road, we go and we pick it up.
Are there groups that assist with that? Do we have volunteers or do we have, is there a
at one point
part,
in
of the,
time,
part of the inmate program
one,
or something?
Yeah, at one point in time when we used to have the inmates help us out with that, and then that, you know, that kind of went away.
Yeah, we no longer have our inmates, yes.
Yes, yep. So we take care of it ourselves,
wow.
You know, on our county roads. I will have to say, though, I got to give credit where credit's due.
Please.
And there are a few people that live in Hunterdon County.
Yes.
That do clean up garbage. Like, if their house is right here, they'll go a mile or two down the road one way and go a mile or two down
Isn't
the road
wonderful?
Another way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's somebody that, you know, obviously really loves where they live.
Yes.
You know, clearly.
As many of us in Hunterdon County
yeah,
do. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've had an opportunity to talk to a few of them. And, you know, they're good people.
That's
they really
great.
Are.
You know what? I have to stop you already. We want to hear from some of the sponsors that help
okay.
to bring Chamber Radio streaming live through Facebook to our audience. So we're going to take a break. We'll finish up spring, and we have to launch into summer, fall, and winter. So we have a big job at hand
yes,
here.
We do.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, Well, welcome back to Your County at Work. We're visiting with the very knowledgeable Ray Eichland, who is the, assistant road supervisor. And before the break, Ray had decided the easy way to sort of break this down for our audience is to let's see what we do in the spring, let's see what we do in the summer, let's see what we do in the fall and the winter, and then you have a visual sort of what keeps these roads safe and well maintained and so forth. So we got halfway through spring, so we're going to have to juice it up a little bit, right?
Okay. Yep.
But what else is going on right now in the spring season?
So what else is going on now in the spring season is catch basin inspections are going on.
So explain that to our audience.
Meaning,
what's a catch basin?
We have to go through once a year by stormwater regulations and inspect all of our catch basins.
Tell us what a catch basin is.
Okay. So let's just say you're walking down a sidewalk and you happen to look out in the roadway and you see one of those metal grates mm-hmm. with a bunch of holes in. Mm-hmm. And that's where the stormwater goes. That's a catch basin.
Okay.
And, you know, they're not just in a sidewalk. You'll see them as you're traveling down a roadway. You'll see these metal grates. And those metal grates lead into drainage pipe underground. And they have to be inspected once a year by stormwater law.
Wow.
And during those inspections, what our road supervisors, and not just our road supervisors, even all the rest of our employees that are out there on the road department, they're inspecting them to see if they need to be cleaned out. They could be filled with debris. It could be leaves. It could be sticks. It could be, you know, soil. Could be anything like that. But also what we do find is that some of them are just failing. And they will fail over time due to various reasons. It could be salt. It could be calcium. It could be just the location of the catch basin to where traffic is just constantly running over them.
Huh.
And it puts a beating on them. So they wind up failing over time. And then that's when we come in and we wind up repairing them. But if we have to clean something out of the inlets, we have to record that. How many cubic yards of debris did we take out of those inlets? And that all needs to be recorded to stormwater, which is DEP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So every municipality, every county, every whatever in the state, and I assume something similar across the nation.
They should be doing that.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
I want to do another sidebar. I think we're going to have part A and part B to our conversation.
Fine.
Maybe we do spring and summer and then we whatever.
Yeah.
But it made me think of how would our audience know whether they're on a state road or a county road or a municipal road? We're here talking about how well we maintain our roads.
Uh-huh.
But they're not every single roadway is not 100 counties, right? So just give a brief, if you will, description of how somebody knows if they're on a county road or not.
Well, other than being able to get a map you know, would tell you, what you will see along our roads is a road sign that says 100 County on it. And on that road sign will give you the number of what the road is, meaning it could be 513, it could be 519, it could be 650. It could be 629. It could be 641. That's the best way that you can tell.
So is it fair to say that mm-hmm. any time you're on a road and it starts with a 500 or a 600, begins with 5 or 6?
Yes.
It's a county road?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the others, you know, I mean, we know we have 78, which is an interstate. We know we have 22 and 31, which are state.
Yes.
And then, of course, we go into municipalities. And those roadways blend into one another. But if you're on a 500 or a 600 mm-hmm. Road, then it's a county road that
That's
we're maintaining.
Right. And it doesn't matter what township you go through.
Right.
You know, here in Hunterdon County, I mean, it's either going to be a 500 series road, which is our major collector roads. The 500
yes.
series
uh-huh.
versus the 600 series.
Collector roads being?
Meaning that's the highest amount of traffic.
Yes.
Normally.
Okay,
that's
523 or something like that.
Your 523s, your 519s,
yes.
your 513s.
Good.
I mean, our 513 runs all the way from Frenchtown all the way into Morris County.
Wow.
You know, up in
yes,
Riverstead.
Yes.
It's long.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for that tidbit, because yeah. I many people don't know that, so that's useful. Okay, so I keep interrupting you, and
that's
then
all right.
I, and I'm
nope.
holding you responsible for this information, and I won't let you talk. So okay, so we've done our snow fences and
yep.
catch basins and yep. what, and we've taken care of the equipment that we're taking off our plows and storing
yep.
for the dump trucks are clean and whatever.
Yep.
Okay, what else is going
so,
on?
So, you know, we were there on the catch basins and we inspected them. So we find out which ones need to be repaired and we go about repairing them. Obviously, the ones that are, that you know, are more dire need of being repaired become a priority.
Sure.
And there's times where that becomes a priority over something that we were going to do. It's what happens. You know, we had planned work, and this turns up. Well, now this is more of a priority than what we were going to do. So
understood.
It just kind of gets pushed away, you know,
okay.
until we're done doing the other priority job. But some of the other stuff that we wind up doing is we start roadside mowing. And roadside mowing, we try to get started on that May 1st of every year.
Okay.
As a rule. You know, it could be a little before that. It could be a little bit after that. But we try to make one full round on all of our roads
wow.
that we mow.
Yes.
By the end of May. And what I mean by one full round, that will be two passes. It'll be a shoulder cut, and then it'll be one full pass with our mower head.
Wow.
We will mow back further than that, but not in our first round. Other than when we come to intersections, we mow those completely back every time. If we know that there's another
area. I mean, it's understood, but why don't we verbalize? Because?
Because we have line of sight problems. And people come out to the intersections, they can't see, you know. And now they're creeping out, and they're creeping out into the roadway. And then once they creep out a little bit too far, that's when accidents happen. And, you know, the accidents can happen because somebody that was traveling down the road, not even on the intersecting road, as the person was at the stop and they're creeping out to be able to see, it startles this
yes.
motorist,
yes.
you know, that is coming toward them. And with that, they veer into the oncoming lane.
Yeah.
Well, in the oncoming lane could be any number of things.
Sure.
You know, it could be another motorist coming, you know, in a car, on a motorcycle. It could be a bicyclist. It could be somebody walking. It could be somebody, you know, running.
Yes.
It could be somebody pushing a baby in a carriage,
ooh,
whatever
Ray,
it may
it's
be.
Bad.
So it's no good.
Yes.
You know. So
yeah.
that's why.
So we're calling those
important.
Line of sight.
Absolutely.
So if someone sees you mowing and they say, "Why are they doing that?" Why? It's safety first.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And also during that time of the year, you have a lot of deer crossing the road at that
yes.
point in time.
Okay.
You know, a lot of activity. You know, the fawns are being born this time of the year. The mothers are gone here maybe to eat, and they're coming back to where, you know, the fawn is in safekeeping.
Yes.
At least that's where she believes. Well, as she's going across that roadway, if you cannot see that deer approaching that roadway, now we're going to have, now
yes.
there's a very good chance you're going to hit that deer.
Yes.
Now you have damage done to your car. So that's another reason why we do it.
Line of sight. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. What else are you up to this time of year?
Then we get into, you know, that's the mowing end of it. But then we get into intersections to where it's not so much the mowing that we can take care of the line of sight with, but it's more we need to get out there maybe with hedge clippers, maybe with weed whackers, you know, grass trimmers, hedge trimmers, chainsaws, pole saws, and we need to open up the intersection. And there's times where that's just from somebody's hedges or somebody's shrubs or someone's landscape that they have gotten too close to the roadway.
How do you manage that if it's a private citizen?
Oh, boy. The best way that we like to do it is to go on up and knock on the door and talk to the property owner. It's the right thing to do. And, you know, most of the time they're understanding of what we need to do. Sometimes they're understanding, but they know what we need to do, but they're very reluctant
sure.
to have us do it.
You can
and
understand both sides of that, right?
I understand it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's their home. It's their property. It's something that maybe they planted there themselves, or maybe it was planted there when they purchased the home, and that's something that they liked about the home.
Yes.
So you have to take all that into consideration. But from my aspect of it, I have to look at the safety end of it. And I need to try to make them realize, you know, that what they have here is very safety sensitive.
Okay.
So, and most of the time it works out well.
Good.
So we're fortunate.
The human contact, though, you can't ever do better than that.
Communication.
I think. Yes. Yeah.
It's constant communication. Yeah. Makes great. A big difference.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How are we doing on spring, Ray?
So we'll move along here. And there's also, if any one of our viewers here that are in Hunterdon County on a county roadway,
yes,
and they happen to come home and they see what is known as a green door tag, there will be a tag number. Also on that tag will be a box that will be checked. It could be because of line of sight, since that's what we're talking about. It could have something to do with removing a tree that we think is on their property that is dead. Or we see that it's a hazard tree, maybe it's split, and we want to remove it. But we don't want to do it without first contacting the property owner.
Sure.
So if you see one of those green tags, please call the number on there. And just give the tag number, and we'll know what you're talking about. You know, we don't put out a lot of them over the course of a year, but there are, you know, a couple handfuls that get put out.
If they're there, they're significant, huh?
Well, they're the ones to where we went and we knocked on the door, and no one was home. So that's why we leave those tags.
And the tag, but in terms of significance, what I'm thinking is, you know, it's not something you take off and go, what's this, and chuck it. If it's there, it tends to be a safety issue. Is that
absolutely
correct?
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, we want to do something to be able to correct it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we do with the green tags. There's also, during this time of the year, we have drainage ditches along our roads, some of which we need to grade. Grading meaning remove
debris.
Exactly. Remove the debris. That debris could be anything. It could be a pile of leaves in there. It could just be silted in over time. And what we take notice to, we only grade what we need to grade. Because as we're going around on a rainy day or the snow is melting, we take note that, oh, yeah, okay, this ditch is getting a little bit full. It's pushing the water out into the road. That can lead to a few different types of hazards. One, it could lead to icing condition, which could cause an accident.
Yes.
The other thing that winds up happening is it could sheet flow across the roadway. It could cause hydroplaning.
Yes.
So that's why we need to do grading. But we only grade where we need to grade. We don't just go through and grade because, oh, well, this looks like a good spot to grade. That's not how it works.
Again, there's decisions, priorities, and task at hand.
Absolutely. You know, and then once we're done grading it, we'll come along with grass seed, you know, and we reseed it, you know, to be able to get a root system established again so that we don't wind up having erosion issues.
Yes.
You know, and once the erosion issues start, well, now we're into something completely different.
Okay.
And sometimes that happens, erosion, along our roadways without us even grading. And we'll conquer that in a couple of different ways. One, maybe we'll just put some 3/4-inch blend, which is stone and dirt mixed together from a quarry, and we'll put that along the edge of the road and we'll roll that in. And sometimes that's sufficient enough to do. There's other times where that will not hold, and we need to put in something a little bit larger, like a 2.5-inch stone, which is clean. That will hold. There's other areas to where it's really been deep, and we've had to put core rock in the bottom first. And what I mean by really deep, I'm talking 2, 3, 4 feet deep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know, water is a very, very powerful element. I mean, it just it's amazing what damage it can do. So, and then we'll fill it up with core rock.
I'm watching our time. Okay.
And then there's times where it's something that we have repaired a few times. And we're like, you know what? This is just going to be a good place to add some more blacktop, and we're going to curb it.
Ah.
And we'll put asphalt curb up through there. The asphalt curb is normally our last resort. We try to do it in other ways, and if it works, great. And the reason that we do that is, A, the asphalt curb is going to cost more than the stone. You know, and there's more time involved, too, you know, to prep the ditch.
Okay.
To be able to put more asphalt in, to be able to run the curb. So you're talking more man hours, you're talking more expense with the asphalt. However, as soon as, like I said, if we got areas that continue to be a problem, how many times are we going to go back there?
Yes.
You know, so that's when we go to doing the curb. And you may be looking at me and saying, well, why didn't you just do the curb to begin with? Because there's been times to where we haven't had to do that.
And we don't want to curb the entire county, do we?
That is correct. We don't.
We want to preserve its
that's right.
its beauty, its
and
integrity,
that's why
and do
it's
the
our,
least
it's our last
amount
resort.
Of. Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So also here in the spring, what we wind up doing is we start spraying our guardrails.
Tell me about that.
Okay. What we have is we have one spray truck, and it has weed killer in it, right? And
it's a delicate topic.
I know it is. It's very delicate. But the individual that we have spraying, he has been to classes. He has been tested. He has passed his tests. He follows all the state regulations. Where we can spray, we spray. Where we cannot spray, we do not spray. I can tell you there's even some areas where we have sprayed. And when we had Irene come through and some of our streams overflowed their banks, you know, people talk about a root system. And you wouldn't think that a root system just from a little bit of grass would mean all that much. Well, I was one of those non-believers, let's just say, you know, because all we spray is like a foot in front of the guardrail and a foot behind the guardrail. Well, wouldn't you know it? Some of those areas that eroded were right where we sprayed. And right where the root system started again with the grass, it held right in there. So we do have a list on our own that we created that we do not spray anymore because of that. So then the guy's going out with the, you know, the grass trimmers, and they'll take care of keeping the weeds down with those around those guardrails.
A lot of precision in the decision, I'm hearing.
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
Good.
You know, and we don't just go and do something just to do it.
Yeah.
There's reasoning for it.
Great.
You know, and there's a lot of discussion. I mean,
we're not going to have time for that. What? How are we with our spring duties here?
Well, I have to say that our spring duties lead right into the summer. You know, what we wind up doing also in the spring is we check our stockpile of stone, and we make sure that that's all, you know, the quantities are where we need them to be so that the guys can go on out and work. So I go around and I check that out, or they call me and say, hey, Ray, we need more stone. And so that gets ordered. And that's various sizes. That's the 3/4 inch clean, the 3/4 inch blend, the 2.5 inch clean.
We're going to have experts.
Yeah.
Our listeners are going to be experts by the time we're through here today.
You know, and then we have a lot of the core rock that we wind up putting out is 6 to 12 inch size core rock. So, but then we make sure that we have plenty of mulch hay. We have hay matting, which gets held in place by staples. If we don't put down hay matting like along the edge of our roadways, what winds up happening if we just sprinkle out the hay no matter if you get a hay mulcher, you know, or if you go and do it by hand, the traffic comes along,
blows it away,
and they blow it right off. And then you're back to square one.
Yes.
You know? Okay. So also what winds up taking place is we wound up going into summer here now. And like I said, some of this is going to bleed
into
summer. Now, once summer hits, this is when we're going to start like a lot of our larger drainage projects.
Okay.
If a district has a larger drainage project to do, this is when we're going to start to do them. Because everything else has been pretty much taken care of, right,
okay,
in the spring. Larger drainage projects, I mean, we could be putting out 150, 200 feet of pipe, you know, and it could be various sizes. It could be 15-inch pipe. It could be 18-inch pipe. It could be 24-inch pipe.
But just tell us what that's for now.
So what that's for is, once again, we could have an area that has a real deep drainage ditch, and it's a hazard.
Okay.
Meaning, car goes down the road, gets off in that shoulder.
Oh, okay.
We're in, you know.
Yes.
They're in trouble.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know. So, if we can, we try to pipe those areas. And all over time, this takes place. Normally, like the quantity of water that flows through those drainage ditches plays a big part in that.
That determines
absolutely
what you use and how you use it.
Yeah, okay. Because there's other areas to where it could be a broad ditch and just remain dirt. But we can get a wide enough shoulder, maybe 3-4 foot wide shoulder, 5 foot wide shoulder, that if somebody did happen to go off the road, they just hit that and they get an opportunity to be able to come back on.
Yes, yes.
It just doesn't always work.
Okay.
There's sometimes where we have to put pipe in the ground in order to make it work. For the safety factor.
Okay.
That's what it's all about. You know? Also, what we wind up doing in the summertime, we'll have areas where our roadways get broken up. Due to the winter.
Sure.
Freeze thaw.
Sure.
So, some of those roads are under contract, and a contractor will come in, and they take care of it. Right? So, we won't pay too much attention to those roads. Now, obviously, if there's a pothole out there, we may take out what we call our winter maintenance patch, which is also known as cold patch, and we'll just patch the holes with that. We won't buy hot stuff, hot mix, for the simple reason the road's going to get done.
Yes.
You know, this year.
Okay.
So we're, you know, why are we going to put all that effort into that?
Got it.
But now if we have another road that maybe is not going to get paved, or oil and chipped for maybe 2-3 years, we will then go and either mill out those bad spots ourselves, which we have a milling machine, a small milling machine, which is also known as a cold planer. Or we'll go in there with our cut saw and we'll cut the areas out and we'll dig them out with a backhoe. Now, some of these areas have just blown up because there's water under there. So we'll put in what you call a sub-drain. And it can be a sub-drain, can be just with stone wrapped in fabric, or it can be stone with perforated pipe.
Okay. I think that we need to sort of go along with what it is we're doing. I'm finding this fascinating.
Yep.
But some of the detail, I think, maybe we can save for another conversation.
Okay.
But just I want to let people know how busy you are, how determined you are, and what goes into the decision-making and in what you do rather than how you might do it.
Right.
But I'm learning a boatload. I hope our audience is. I can't imagine they're not. It's
yep.
clear what an expert you are in this, Ray. I'm so glad you're sharing it with us.
Yep. Happy to.
Good. So I don't know if we can say how we do these things, but just maybe now as I look at our time, we're moving ahead here. We're going to have to break for a moment to listen to our sponsors again, to mm-hmm. thank them for helping us on 100 Chamber Radio and for getting their messages out to our listeners. And then I think we need to cover some of the things we're doing, maybe in a little little bit less detail, although,
yep.
as I said, I find it fascinating.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
So welcome back to Your County at Work, and we're visiting with Ray Eichlin, who is a very well-informed assistant road supervisor, and we're grappling with how we talk about the magnitude of this job, the service of roads and bridges in Hunterdon County. And we've gone through most of spring and most of summer, I think. But yep. in the 15 minutes we have left or so, yes. We need to talk about what happens with the roads in fall and winter. So. Yep. Yep. Probably we're going to have to skim the top a little bit more.
Yep. So we'll roll right into fall here.
Okay.
And what we do in the beginning of the fall is we're wrapping up all of our large projects that we were doing in the summer. And really what then takes place is now what we undid in the spring with the dump trucks and the snow fence, we're all putting it back up again. We're all putting it back on. We're bringing back the brine maker. And we're setting that all up, getting ready to make brine again. We're making sure that all of our salt barns are full of salt. All our calcium tanks are filled to capacity or at least enough to where we're going to be okay for, you know, 3, 4, 5 storms. And that's where we're at, you know, as far as spring goes. We also, or fall. Also what we wind up doing in the fall is we collect leaves out of our drainage ditches, which can be a big problem. We do not, as a county, go and clean the leaves up along a county road that a homeowner has swept, leaf blown, whatever, raked out to the edge of the road. That is up to, you know, their township or their borough to pick those up. We do not do that.
Okay.
All right. As I said, we're going to be putting up snow fence posts and snow fence again. You know, come fall. And normally we start doing that right around November the 1st.
Okay.
You know, and so I told you about we're going to be getting the dump trucks ready and the salt barns being full. Then also what we'll do is we'll go around with what we call delineator posts. And we will mark all of our catch basins. We'll mark our curbs. And we'll also mark anything of maybe somebody's property, like a stone wall or something that we could hit, do damage to the property, which we don't want to do.
Of course.
Or do damage to our plow, you know, our truck.
Yes.
So by marking it, we're in good shape. So, you know, hopefully that we don't hit it. Sometimes it still happens, but most often we're pretty good. We don't. We got a lot of good group of people here, you know. During that time, depending on how quick the snow starts and whatever, we'll get on out and we'll start trimming trees along our roads with chainsaws, pole saws, chippers, things of that nature. Our tree truck is out year-round. They're constantly going. But I'm talking about the road guys getting out there and starting to trim trees again.
Huh.
So that's normally the time of year that'll
and
happen.
And the trees that you trim, what the criteria is?
So what we wind up doing is once we see them start to encroach out into our roadway, into the right-of-way, we like to get them back beyond. Because here, once again, you want to be able to see deer coming out. The clearer line of sight we can keep that roadway, even going around corners or even straightaways, whatever it may be, the more you can see oncoming traffic, the more you can see if somebody may be in your lane, you know,
yes,
to be able to make a maneuver, yes, to avoid them or,
it does,
you know,
not involve,
an animal.
It does not involve wires that belong to JCP&L or wires that belong to our
telephone and cable.
So your trimming has to do with right of sight again.
Absolutely.
Line of sight.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's a chore to keep up to it.
Yep.
It really is. Because a lot of times these past few winters have been, well, they've been bad.
We had a busy one last year, didn't
yeah.
we? This
yep,
year.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that we wind up doing. There's even areas like during the winter time like this, we'll go on out like with a backhoe, like where we're mowing, and there may be like a large rock or a large stump that the mower has been hitting. We'll remove that because what that winds up doing is it winds up knocking off our mower knives. It winds up doing damage to the mower head, which ultimately does, you know, it winds up costing us money.
Sure.
You know, so if we can correct that, we're going to correct it. And that's also how we correct that. But getting into winter here, well, of course, we all know it's winter maintenance. It's battling a snowstorm. You know, that's our number one priority when it comes to winter. So that's where our whole focus then
Tell
goes.
Us, this is one detail I think would be really interesting, and that
yeah.
is, how do you gear up when you know a storm's coming and and it really looks like they mean it this time?
Yeah.
What's the garage look like? What's your job as assistant road supervisor mean?
Okay.
What do you have to do, Ray, to make sure that everybody's ready to go on their tiptoes and behind the truck wheels?
Well, I wish I could say that every storm is the same and it's a cookie cutter, so to say, but it is not.
Okay.
Wouldn't
you know?
Yeah, wouldn't you know? If at all possible, we are going to go out and we're going to pre-treat our roadways with the brine within 24 hours of that storm, you know, starting. So we are really, really counting on, you know, our weather service to provide us with the most accurate information that they possibly can. And they normally do a good job. It's the weather. They're not going to be
the brine
every
we can
time.
See because they look like those iridescent strips.
Yep.
They always look to me like a music score, you know, the lines
yep.
that you draw. And when you see those streaks, and they're a little iridescent-ish sort of,
yeah,
right? When you see
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah little
that
bit.
Means that brine has been laid down. Now,
That's
tell
correct.
Us, just tell us what that does and why you do it.
So why we do that is for this reason. If you've ever seen salt, a granular of salt, right? What that needs to do is break down and form a liquid. Well, that liquid is brine. All we're doing with this brine is we're taking Mother Nature's step out and we're doing it ourselves.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. We're taking a step out of it. And by putting that brine down, it now starts to snow. And the best analogy I can give you on this would be somebody that cooks. If you can picture this brine being down on the road as you would trying to cook in a frying pan and not having whatever. Everybody cooks with something different. Something of a protective layer down to prevent your food from sticking to that frying pan. Of course, everybody uses something different, so I don't really want to go into saying what you should or what you shouldn't use. But so if you don't use anything, that food is going to stick to the bottom of that frying pan. Well, it's the same thing with snow. What, by putting this brine down, that snow hits, it activates the brine. That brine now acts as a barrier between the snow and the road. And what happens over time with that? It will fail. I mean, it won't keep going. We're going to have to go out and salt. However, there's still that protective barrier there of some sort that doesn't allow for that snow to penetrate the pores of the roadway, which at the end of a storm means, well, I'm going to have a lot quicker cleanup, or I'm going to have a lot slower cleanup.
Or damaged roads. Yeah. Ray, believe it or not, we have just a couple minutes left. We're in good hands, Ray. Huntington County's in good hands.
They are.
Yes.
They are. And I don't want to sound too confident about it, but, you know, we just have a tremendous amount of good employees here, and they get the job done.
Yeah.
You do, the only thing that you need to do is you just need to give them time when they're out there working a snowstorm. We can only do things as quick as what Mother Nature is going to allow us to do them. So the biggest thing of it is be patient. These guys are professional. They will do it right, and they will get it done.
The detail has been astounding to me to understand the depths. And I think when you drive along the road, you see crews out, and you don't know by looking what they're doing. You don't know that that's either maintenance, preparation for something. Prevention is the word I'm searching for here. Prevention or repair or deemed something that makes those roadways safer. Keeps the maintenance up, keeps the costs down, and it's for the safety of the folks on our roads. And that's residents and taxpayers, of course, but it's for anybody that traverses our roads.
Absolutely.
And the one other thing, that we don't have much time, but I know that there are some shared services that we do, you know, if we're doing chip and seal or something like that, if we're doing some of these road repair things, is that we work with our municipalities, don't we?
Yes. In fact, we had one municipality come to us this year with interest of brining their roads. And, you know, of course, anybody that wants to come and see us and see how, if they're interested in doing brining and see how our operation is, our door is always open. You know, it's not a problem. I've told that to our sales rep. You know, if he needs to bring somebody around, bring him around. But lo and behold, that township, and the township is in Huntington County, they are going to be brining next year.
Great.
You know, and good for them.
Yes. Ray Eichlund, thank you. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for your very clear description of all that goes on in that department. And I really do like the way you separate it out into seasons so that we can sort of visualize as we drive around.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate very much your spontaneous. I asked Ray this morning, Ray, I'd love to talk about, and he said yes.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Thank you so much. And I do believe that it's not hyperbole to say that we are in good hands, that these roads are in. And I think when you drive in from one of our adjoining counties or something and you hit our roads and you can see the difference immediately.
Yes, you can.
And you can feel it on your car.
Yes, you can. We've had that compliment given to us many times.
So thank you for what you do, and thank your team when you go back on our behalf.
I will.
Okay, so we're just about to wrap up from your county at work. I'll be back the first Monday. I keep saying that. We'll be back the first Thursday of next month, and talking more about the behind-the-scenes goings-on and stories of the folks that provide services for you. Thank you very much. Goodbye from Hutterton Chamber Radio.